All right. Well, as we promised, this first segment of Memorial Day weekend here, 2025, is going to be begging you to get the heck out of the house on a future weekend, coming weekend, because it's Connecticut Trails Day 2025, the weekend of June 7th and 8th. And I'm so pleased to welcome to the program Chuck Toll. He is the Connecticut Trails Coordinator for the Connecticut Forest and Parks Association, the Connecticut Trails Day Coordinator, I should say. Chuck, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, John. Nice to be here.
So were you one of those kids who whose mother would just like kind of, you know, push you out the door every day and say, go play in the woods? And that's where you developed your love that has led to this this career that you're in right now?
Almost exactly, John. Begged me to come home for dinner.
That was it, huh? So, So you were out there chasing frogs and blazing trails from a young age.
Yeah, from a young age, and even through my adult life, both of my kids are avid outdoor enthusiasts. So we've enjoyed our outdoor experiences for a long time.
So, Chuck, please let's start by giving us a little bit of background on the organization that you represent, the Connecticut Forest and Park Association.
Sure. Connecticut Forest and Park Association was organized in 1895. CFPA was the first private, nonprofit conservation organization in the state of Connecticut, and its original mission and vision are as relevant today as it was 130 years ago. CFPA connects people to Connecticut's forests, its blue-blazed trails, our parks, and ensures that these special places are protected and well-maintained for future generations. And its vision inspires active, lifelong engagement with Connecticut's abundant and well-managed forests, parks, and trails by building a vibrant and diverse conservation community. Today, CFPA maintains 185 miles of Blue Blaze trails in 96 towns, including the National Scenic Trail, the New England Trail, with hundreds of volunteer trail managers in Connecticut. Most everybody in the state lives close to a Blue Blaze trail. They also run Project Learning Tree, an environmental education program for our school systems. So if you like hiking and enjoy the outdoors, become a member. You'll love CFPA.
Well, that's great. And it must be great to live in a state that it not only gets it when it comes to forest and park preservation, particularly forest preservation, that we're in some ways almost always a national leader in that respect. Small state,
yes.
Lots of forests.
Yes, I think the goal for the state is to preserve approximately 20% of our land as conserved space. So that's pretty significant in the United States here, for a small state especially.
Mm. So since the Connecticut Forest and Park Association was a first of its kind all these many years ago, did the Trails Day as an event emerge onto a larger national stage from Connecticut as well?
Sure. Well, Trails Day is a national event today. It's celebrated in all 50 states on the first weekend of June. Originally, it was created by the American Hiking Society over 30 years ago, and CFPA partnered with American Hiking Society about 32 years ago to start the Connecticut Trails Day event. Originally, its purpose was to build new trails, bridges, walkways, and maintaining existing trails, somewhat like a national spring cleaning trail cleanup day.
Hmm.
So today it's become much more than just that, with a wide variety of thousands of events across the country.
So how does Connecticut compare to other states in terms of both the range of activities that we offer on Trails Day and beyond, and some of what you're hearing from your colleagues who are running or supporting Trails Day programs in other states around the country?
Connecticut's a leader. Connecticut and CFPA host the largest Trails Day event in the country, with over 200 events that are scheduled for that weekend, which is pretty amazing. For a small state, Trails Day is a pretty important event for us.
Very good. So I am now visiting trailsday.org here, which right. is can be accessed by going to the Forest and Park Association website, which is another fantastic website to explore, ctwoodlands.org. Or right. I guess if you search engine Connecticut Forest and Park Association, right. it'll take you right to it. So you can click on to one of the many different programs and issues that the association is supporting, but you can also click on this trailsday.org and go directly to a fantastic resource where you can filter trails by the closest proximity or those within your own community, or you can kind of spin the wheel of fortune and decide maybe to make a weekend out of it, weather permitting, and maybe visit a couple of Connecticut communities and their trails or activities for Trails Day that you never would think of going to before. So right. I think the one thing that is probably one of the coolest is how folks like you, Chuck, and your colleagues and folks in preservation groups all over the state are working so hard to make the a lot of the trails in their communities or that cross their regions more accessible to folks that may have not been able to get out to these beautiful locations before because of alternate abilities or disabilities.
Right. It's a great way for people to experience a trail or a location for the first time. Since every event has a leader, if you want to try something for the first time, you're going with somebody who knows where they're going and what they're doing. So that's one huge advantage about accessibility. We may not want to venture out on a 4 or 5 mile hike, not knowing exactly where we're going. But if you had a leader or somebody that was able to show you the way and point out some of the highlights, it's a great way for people to do this for the first time. So as you mentioned, our website does have the ability to kind of sort these events. You can sort it by town. You can sort it by activity. You can sort it by day. You can see the distance and the difficulty. You can see if it's a family-friendly event. And so you can check out this website, trailsday.org, in advance and kind of plan for your weekend. We have several people that will try to attend more than one event, and sometimes they'll attend 3 or 4 events over that weekend. So it's a great way to see all of the things that are going on, and it's a very diverse selection of events. It's not just about hiking anymore.
And it's those ultimately adventurous souls that help keep Connecticut Trails Day as the number one Trails Day host capital of the country. That's great. So we talked about a broadening diversity of access for those with disabilities, but depending on where these trails are and in what communities, they also may be subject to whether or not people can bring their pets out, particularly their dogs. People with their dogs love to get them out of the house. There are a huge variety of dog-friendly opportunities for people to enjoy as well.
Yes, exactly. We're very proud of that diversity and accessibility. Our trails are really meant for everybody, but we even have 18 events that are wheelchair accessible. So people with disabilities, we love to see that out on the trail. And there's one event in particular just for people with disabilities, and that's in Simsbury. And so anybody with physical disabilities, we'll get them out on the trail and enjoy that. We have more than 80 events for a program that the state runs called Families in the Parks. It's part of the No Child Left Inside state program that we have. So 80 of those events are linked to families in the parks, which include things like treasure hunts and storybook walks. There's a ghost train walk, horseshoe crab nature walks. There's all sorts of fun activities for kids and families. As you mentioned, there's over 100 events where leash dogs are welcome. So it's very inviting to our pets. CT and Trails Day is open and accessible for everyone, and it's all free. That's the other part I love about it. No charge for anybody to attend any of these events. And as I mentioned before, all events have an experienced leader as a guide. Mm. So it's great for anyone who wants to try a trail for the first time.
Yeah. So I guess the other thing we need to deal with is capacity. You know, the people can randomly pick where they want to go, but sometimes I guess it's inevitable that there's bigger crowds at certain activities than others. Does that mean that in some situations where the trails may be smaller or more unique or have more unique features, there has to be some sort of a registration?
Yeah, it's a good idea to register for an event, regardless of whether there's an unlimited capacity or a limited capacity. There's a number of reasons why. First of all, the leader has your contact information in case plans change due to weather conditions or trail conditions. They will reach out to you in advance if you've registered to let you know about those changes. More than half of the events have a limited capacity, and that's really important to realize. For a number of reasons. A number of events have fewer than 10 spots available, so very small groups of people that are going out on the trail. The limited capacity minimizes the impact of large groups on our sensitive trails, so we're very aware of that impact. And limiting that capacity keeps everyone safe in these fairly rugged environments. And these events are starting to book up very quickly, even though we're still 2 weeks out. Two of the events have already met their capacity and they are closed. So people should go to trailsday.org, check them out. And if they're interested in an event, it's better to register sooner rather than later.
Then there's the question of a different kind of accessibility, the accessibility to the scope and difficulty a particular trail may pose. I imagine, anything of this nature that offers such diversity, there are nice, easy, flat trails or relatively flat trails, and then there are some with a greater degree of difficulty.
Yeah, we have a whole range of events. It's not just about hiking. There's paddle events, bike trips, history hikes, treasure hunts, yoga walks, birding events. We have a lot of urban hikes. Not all the hikes end up going through the woods, but many of our major cities here in Connecticut have sponsoring urban hikes. There are botanical garden walks. Of course, the traditional trail maintenance events that we have, and deep woods events. So if you really want to get back in the woods, we can do that as well. But we have probably about 30 events that are less than a mile. So if somebody has some limited capacity in walking, we have some shorter events to enjoy too. And the longest event is an 11-mile challenge for experienced hikers. So there's a full range of events. So each event, when you click on it, has a top at the top of it says whether it's easy, moderate, or hard in its ranking. And each event has the total number of miles that are to be covered for that particular event. And in addition, there's a description of the event. And before you start out, each leader will explain what the hike is all about before you start. And you have a chance to ask questions about that event. And if it's too challenging, it's okay to back out and choose another event for that day. So you'll kind of know what you're getting into before you go.
Yeah, I guess on the odd chance that an individual or family determines for whatever reason that they've gotten to the event and it's just not the right one, with the massive number of activities going on all over the state, chances are they'll be able to get to another one, if not later on Saturday, then maybe on Sunday.
Yes, so, we pay a lot of attention to safety. And so if it's not quite right for you, don't go. Don't take that chance.
Yeah.
But for the most part, these hikes are in great environments. They're very well scoped out. And a few of them are hard, but most of them are pretty easy.
Yeah. So expanding a little bit more on the safety aspect. First of all, we get up June 7th and or 8th. where we may be in Connecticut, and we're looking forward on going, but it's monsoon rain, heavy wind. We look at the weather, pinpointed over the towns where we plan to go for Trails Day, and it's and weather's bad. What happens then?
Well, when you have pre-registered, that leader has your contact information, and they will reach out to you in advance to let you know that the event has been changed or a rain date or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason to register. They will have, we will also take our website, and leaders will send us information in real time. If their plans have changed, we'll post that on the website as quickly as we can. Mm-hmm. So we'll make a note on that particular event that it has been canceled due to rain, or a rain date has been posted, or whatever changes are there. So not only will your leader reach out to you, but our website will update information throughout the weekend.
Okay.
So it's a good way to check to see if there's any changes or cancellations.
Great. And of course, you know, we've heard about all about coyotes and foxes and the proliferation of black bears, but you'd think a group even as small as 10 is going to ward off you know, any wild animals in anywhere across the trails in Connecticut. But there are a number of other important points that we'll start closing out our chat today to remind people about, so they can ultimately be as safe as possible and enjoy a great Trails Day.
Sure. As we all know, any outdoor activity poses some degree of risk. You know, for Trails Day, you have to look at the event itself. For the shorter urban walks, probably less preparation is needed. But once you're back into the woods, you want to wear some good footwear. That's, I think, one of the most important things. No flip-flops and no sandals. Put a good pair of socks and shoes on so that you can get to the event safely. Use bug repellent. We're all hearing about the tick situation this
sure.
year. So tuck your pants inside your socks. Wear light-colored clothing so that you can see the ticks. Use bug repellent, keeping you safe.
Yes.
Hopefully it's a sunny day, so you'll need a little bit of sunscreen. Some other things that I suggest, bring a walking stick. Especially back on the trails where there are roots and rocks, a walking stick will help your stability. Or trekking poles on really rugged trails really help you move along quickly and keep your balance. So those are often a big aid for people who are out on the trails. And we've done a lot to help our leaders prepare for contingencies. Depending upon the degree of difficulty, many events have more than one leader. They're asked to keep their cell phones charged, and if there is something that somebody stumbles and falls, to be able to have a plan to help that person with any aid that they may need. So we want you to stay safe, but most of all, have fun out there. This is a great time to be out on our trails and get away from the screens and the cell phones and go out and enjoy a little bit of nature and in our beautiful state of Connecticut.
Yeah, and selfishly, for you and your colleagues at the Connecticut Forest and Trail Association, every Trails Day, I'm sure, is the birthplace of many new Connecticut trail stewards who will hopefully help maintain and improve and make the job of you and your many colleagues in many local organizations that are taking care of business in their own communities a little bit easier.
Yeah. You know what else I noticed, and I go to at least four or five events each Trails Day weekend. People come and they gather to these events. It's all new. They come from all parts of the state. Some people travel 20, 30 miles to come to an event. So as the event starts, people stand around and they kind of look at each other and they stand in different groups. And at the end of the event, people come back and they're exchanging phone numbers. They're saying, let's get together again. This was fun. They're exchanging emails. And so not only is it creating new environmental leaders and inspiring young people, but it's giving us new friendships and new relationships that people can follow up on. So it's a great all-around feel-good event in many different ways.
Chuck Toll is the Connecticut Trails Day Coordinator for the Connecticut Forest and Park Association. He would like to see you and your family and friends, maybe some coworkers, folks in your building, get out of the building and get out onto the Connecticut Trails for Connecticut Trails Day weekend, June 7th and 8th. Once again, you can go directly to a sortable list of activities, more than 100 across the state happening that weekend, if you go to trailsday.org. And if you would like to learn more and perhaps get more involved and support the Connecticut Forest and Park Association with volunteerism or donations or both, go to ctwoodlands.org. Chuck, we'll see you out on the trails. Thank you so much for the visit today.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.